Second.
Motion and a second. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Randy?
Hi, I'm sorry, I double muted.
Okay. Sounds painful. Next case, number 498034, Jacqueline Villa, 11201921. Ah, yeah. Lovely to see you. Do you swear the testimony you have today will be truthful? Can you state your name?
Jacqueline Villa.
And what about the truthful part?
Oh, yeah.
All right, just checking. Ah, stop it. Do you review this case with us? She'll review it, and then we'll come and ask you questions, okay?
Good morning, Mr. Begley and members of the board. My name is Lisa Thomas. On January 11, 2023, I conducted an inspection of salt and waste located at 15425 North Stanley Avenue with Suite 100 Scottsdale. And I spoke with the owner and licensee, Jacqueline Villa. During the inspection, I identified the following sanitation violations. There was no disinfectant concentrate in the salon. I also verified that salt and waste was an unlicensed establishment in the board's licensing database. I provided the licensee with an inspection report and educated her before leaving on how to apply for an establishment license and about no disinfectant concentrate. On February 3rd, 2023, license HRST 10207 was approved and expires on February 3rd, 2024. If you have any questions, I will be happy to address them.
Okay, how was the condition of the salon?
It was fine. She just didn't have a disinfectant concentrate.
Everything
she had a wet setup, just not a concentrate.
She had a wet setup without any concentrate?
Wet setup. But she didn't have a disinfectant concentrate to show what she was using.
Oh, I see. Like got into the bottle or something. Okay, all right.
Got it.
So there was something mixed in there?
Right, but if it was
we don't know what it was.
Contaminated right away, she wouldn't be able to use it.
Okay.
All right, that makes more sense.
Is this like a salon suite situation?
Yes.
Okay.
Still a salon, but it's a salon.
Yeah, one of the ones.
Okay. Any other question?
The disinfectant that was there was clean?
It was clean at the time of the inspection, yeah.
Okay. All right. So have you had a chance to review this?
Yes.
And could you explain to us how this, where it is?
I was actually unaware of the establishment license in Tennessee. I just didn't even think I needed the salon license. So I was completely unaware of that. My fault. I did apply for it the next day. So I tried to do that immediately. And the disinfectant, I had just come back from maternity leave, and that's not an excuse, but it was like a lack of preparedness. I kind of not thinking about it, of having, I think I had the disinfectant underneath the cabinet that been just wasn't set up.
No.
Remember, it was on the floor.
No matter what disinfectant set up, but you didn't have the bottle. That's where I was looking for.
Yeah, okay, yeah. Yeah, I just had to refill that when I came back, so. That's about it. But everything is taken care of. I did it immediately after.
Okay. Board, have any questions?
Mr. Chairman, I have a question. I want to make sure I'm looking at the right inspection summary. This is case number 97985. Is that right, Jasmine Berthold?
No, it's 98034.
Okay. I'm sorry. Thank you.
You're fine. Do you have any questions for Ms. Villa?
With the establishment license, you had had one before, it just wasn't renewed?
No, I actually didn't know.
You didn't have one? Okay.
Yeah. I only had the cosmetology and the, I had a business license. The owner of the suite told me I needed the business license and the, I mean, I should have known, I guess. I just have no idea I needed the establishment.
How long have you had this place?
I've been in there for 4 years, maybe.
Right. And you were off for maternity leave, so you're out of there part of the time.
Yeah.
This is not an uncommon thing. People are confused about salon suites. So do we have any Any motions regarding this case?
I move that we adopt the findings of facts and conclusion of law.
I second.
Okay, we have motion second. All in favor say aye.
But well, before aye. We make, okay, aye.
All we're saying is it up there's up. Okay. So Brandy, you have some thoughts you would like to express about the penalty phase of this?
Well, I had a question. I wanted to ensure that we were remaining consistent with how we've treated salon suites in the recent past. And I didn't know if we had, I couldn't recall if we had done disciplinary letters of concern or non-disciplinary, which is why I was hesitant to adopt findings of fact and conclusions of law, because I know it moved us to the disciplinary level. But does board staff, are they able to inform us? You know, I think it was a letter of concern, but I don't remember if it was disciplinary or undisciplinary that have been our sort of standard.
Disciplinary, which is why I moved it that way, because that was going to be
because of the
my language. Next motion after my question about if there's previous history.
All right. All right,
got it. Okay, that makes sense. I just wanted to check.
Yep.
And also was, I mean, so if you've been, if she's, I don't know who to ask this to. If she had been established for 4 years, she was never checked? Ever?
Mr. Chair, Member Mayfield, I would remind, we're in that period of COVID. I think there were leadership changes here at the board. There was consolidation. So there's really probably, we're on probably year two at this point of consistent inspections after several years of it being very inconsistent.
Yes.
So do you have a motion?
Yeah, I move that we, I move that we, based on the finding of facts and conclusion of law, take the following disciplinary action, a disciplinary letter of concern.
Okay.
I would second that.
Thank you. A motion and a second. All in favor say aye.
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 Aye. Aye.
Nay.
Nay.
4-1-2. All right, based on majority rule, then we agree that we're going to give you a disciplinary letter of concern. We're not going to fine you anything. Because we appreciate that you have caught up in what you're caught up in, and now you're fixed. Thank you for coming today. It was nice to see you. We'll get a letter related to this in the mail.
Okay.
Which just to reaffirm that to you.
Thank you.
All right, keep up your business. Be well. Number five, our case number 98063, Alexa Marie Parra, license 12100112.
I'm here.
Good. Ms. Parra, do you swear the testimony, or do you swear or affirm the testimony you'll give today will be truthful?
Yes.
And state your name, please.
I'm sorry?
See your name, please. For the
Alexa
record. Thank you very much. Okay, I'm going to have the our investigator review the case, and then we'll come back to you with questions.
Okay.
Well, hello.
Hello. Good morning, Mr. Brakely and members of the board. My name is Kathy Bertram. On February 3rd, 2023, I conducted an inspection of the salon. I spoke with the owner, Alexa Maria Parra. During the inspection, I identified the following violations. Working in an unlicensed establishment. I verified that the establishment license on the board database has determined that she applied for an establishment license on 2/3/23 and did not complete it. The establishment license is still pending. She is still working in an unlicensed establishment. I provided the licensee with the inspection report and educated them before leaving. If you have any questions, I'll be happy to address them.
How was the salon as far as cleanliness?
It was good.
Everything was good. It's just a licensing issue.
Yeah. It's still unlicensed today.
Still pending.
Still pending. Okay. And is this another salon suite situation?
Yeah.
Okay.
Crazy.
Why is it pending? Is it like the? It says it's not finished? Or is it not true?
Mr. Chair, members of the board,
The application was signed on April the 25th, and we're currently processing applications within that week. It has not been finalized yet.
Okay. But we believe at this point it is a complete application.
We have assigned a complete application at this point.
Okay, that's important. Thank you.
Mr. Chair, members of board, just to clarify what Mr. Griffin is saying is we have received an application. Yes. The application still needs to be reviewed. Yes. To ensure completion, which should happen within the next business day or two, first in, first out.
Okay. And our processing time is about a month.
For establishment, Mr. Chair, members of the board, establishment applications can take up to 8 weeks for work on the meeting. Cut it for beyond that 8 weeks.
Okay.
Also, Mr. Chair, members of the board, I will explain more about that when we get to my report toward the end of the meeting. I think important to this case is we're within a day or two of licensing this individual if their application is complete.
Okay.
And is this someone who's never been licensed and never had an establishment or?
She has prior history working in an
unlicensed. Oh, wait, we can't do that yet.
I don't think we're able to discuss that yet.
Yeah, we stopped it. We're good. All right, so let's go to Ms. Kara. Have you reviewed this complaint?
Yes, Kara? I have.
Can you give us any additional information that may help us understand your situation?
When she came in, I bought the licensing that same day, and then I applied in April, and then I haven't heard back. I reached out to, I believe, Alicia Ailman. I've reached out twice trying to get an update on where it's at, and I haven't heard back. So I'm still just waiting to hear back.
Okay. All right. Is there anything else you want to add?
No.
Does the board have any questions for her?
Yeah, Mr. Chairman, I have a question. When she says that she paid that same day, what did you do that same day? This is Brandy Flores, public member.
I went on to where to get the establishment license, and I paid I believe it was like $150 to $200 or something, and then I got the application sent to my email in April, which I filled out and I sent back, just haven't gotten a license back.
I ask because it shows that the inspection was on February 3rd, and then the inspection summary doesn't show an application begun until April 10th. And so yes, I didn't understand that lag time.
Yes, I didn't fill out the application until April, but I went and bought the license that day she came in.
Okay, yeah. I have a question then for board staff. Is this one of those situations where people can go online and pay? I know we had a couple of issues, but then a separate email comes to complete an application.
Mr. Chair, Ms. Flores, yes, that is precisely what I'm hearing. And I actually have an update for you on that in my report a little later this morning.
Yeah, she's caught in that system issue that we have.
I mean, can we confirm if that didn't go out to her until April, if she paid in February?
The payment date was 2/3.
Okay, but she didn't get
anything. So she did try that day to remedy this.
Yeah.
That makes sense.
Mr. Chair, members of the board, I apologize, Member Mayfield. By way of clarity as well, we also sent, as we discussed, we began sending additional follow-up on these. It appears we emailed Ms. Hara on April 6th and April 19th with a reminder to complete the application.
But the first one didn't come until more than a month after the payment.
We are unable to confirm exactly when she would have gotten it. March 20th for sure, though.
Okay.
My tracking doesn't have that at my fingertips. I'm not able to.
Yeah.
One of the questions I have is when dealing with these salon suites, with these cases, I understand they're saying that it's been a huge issue on, I guess, the cosmetology side as far as people not knowing. And I understand normally what we used to do what I'm just trying to get understanding is when are we going to have a cutoff point for saying, well, we've always said this.
Yeah, he's going to tell you today.
Oh, you're going to let us. Oh, that's part of the update today?
Not the salon suite issue. I think that's a board.
But because the question I'm having is, the inspectors are going out, they're giving them a fine, and it seems like the norm is that they pay that day, and then they come and say, well, I paid that day, and then we go, well, because we always just let them do it, we're just going to go ahead and just wipe the fee out. So I'm just trying to wonder, are we going to have a cutoff date for, well, their salon suite, they didn't know?
Right.
Would that just continue on? Well, that's the only issue I'm having right now.
Yeah, I think there's two issues, Steve. And one is that question, when they go into a salon suite, does the owner make it clear to them they're not licensed, and therefore you're not under my license?
Right.
We often have that. The second one is the way the licensing situation works now. You go online and you pay, and then you get another email that says now you get to fill it out.
Right.
And then you get to this weird dance step thing, and then you get strung out for like
2 months. Also, Mr. Chair, Mr. Knox, we did add info because we have had this ongoing conversation since I started like 14 months ago at this point. I don't think I get to say I'm new anymore as much as I'd like to. Our communications administrator, Ms. Legowski, I almost said Neil, Ms. Legowski did add, we've placed infographics on our webpage. We've communicated, we're putting information out there about this also for board, you know, just.
Yeah. So it is posted information that the cosmetologists and barbers are able to go out there and see if you're in this. It's not like it's a secret anymore. It's been out there for a while that if you own a salon suite, that you need to go and make sure that you have an establishment license.
Yes.
So that's all I was trying to get an understanding of, just at this point, if the information's out there, they should know.
Yeah, and Mr. Chair, Mr. Knox, it was actually August of last year that we placed that information on the webpage after a couple of months of these issues with the salon suite licenses. And it's also the first FAQ on our webpage at this point, just because it is that important, or it's that common of a topic that's coming up. I would also add, not to preempt my board report a little bit later, but clearly I need to share this with you now. Beginning June 1st, that application process did change, and now it is one step, one process. You complete your information, you make your payment all in one, and then we process. So we're working that process. We've problem solved that process. For some additional context,
that's part of the answer to your timing. These guys are still caught.
And Mr. Chairman and Marshall, I understand your concern. I think that's also why we ask about history, so it's not just a loophole that people are utilizing. And we get far fewer of these cases than we did in the past, I think, because the word has started to spread. It's just not complete.
We're nearly out of it. All right. Any other questions for our investigator or the Ms. Parr?
In this case, it sounds, I don't have any questions, but I would say it sounds like there is two of our common issues that have convened into one case, which is the challenge with the email and the salon suite issue.
So do you have any motions?
I move that we accept the findings, the facts, and conclusion of law.
Second.
Right. Marshall.
I'll second that.
All right, we have a motion and a bunch of seconds. Everyone in favor, say aye.
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 On the phone?
I would make a motion that we offer a disciplinary letter of concern based on the findings of fact and conclusions of law, because there is some liability from the board standpoint of challenging email application procedures that we're still working out and sounds like will be remedied very soon.
It doesn't the motion.
Yeah, we had four ayes on the first step, so that passed based on a majority. We have an airplane in the lobby, which is very interesting. And then we have a second motion.
Well, I'd like to. Is there already a
motion on non-disciplinary letter?
I was just going to ask
disciplinary letter.
About
disciplinary.
Previous.
I don't think we've talked about.
There is a disciplinary piece. This licensee, on November 18th of 2022, she signed a consent agreement for $50. She was found working in an unlicensed establishment. So she was kind of aware.
Was it the same
place?
Not the same place. She was working with a different licensee. The owner was a different person, but it was basically the same.
This is the first time this has happened.
May I make a movement?
We actually have.
Wait, I'm sorry. I wanted to clarify. Was that so? Someone else did not have a license, and the licensee was working in that establishment?
Yes, exactly. Correct. I had an employer, and I was working under her, and I still was fined for it.
So they're different things, but similar problem. Right. So Randy made a motion a while ago.
I would second Randy's motion.
The motion is second.
Mr. Chair, members of the board, can we have Ms. Flores repeat the motion, please?
Absolutely. So my motion would be based on the findings of fact and conclusions of law to issue a disciplinary letter of concern for the violation.
And I second.
And we have a second. So based on a motion and a second, all in favor say aye.
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 No. Aye.
Cool. Okay, all who
nay.
Would like to say nay, nay. All right, so we have 4-2. So we're going to issue the disciplinary letter of credit, or letter of whatever it was called, a discipline. So Ms. Parra, do you understand where we are and what's going on?
A little bit. I'm just going to get a letter in the mail.
You're going to get a letter in the mail, but also we understand that your application should be processed within the next couple of days.
So okay, and will that email to me?
It will come to you as an email with QR code, and you print it out.
Okay, perfect. Thank you.
All right, so you can't work until then, right?
Okay, yes.
All right, and you're going to always keep it renewed. We're never going to hear from you again?
Yes.
All right, that'll be great. All right, well, good luck in your business.
All right, thank you.
Thank you.
Okay.
Thank you. And you did the right thing. There's no doubt about it.
Chairman, before we move on to the next question, I just have a real quick question. I understand that we're saying it's a last one split system and what's going on. So cosmetologists have been able to operate without a establishment license. Even if you apply that morning, even though it's a lapse in the system, you're still able to, it's okay to work in an establishment without the license.
For the last 4 years.
It isn't, but we recognize that our system has a huge defect in it.
I mean, even without the system, even if they apply, they still shouldn't be working until they have the establishment license. That's the only issue that I'm having with some of these cases is that they're saying, well, I applied that day, and because the system is, there's a flaw in the system. We keep saying, well, because the system is messed up, it's our error. It's not our error. It might have taken a while to get an establishment license, but that still doesn't make it okay for an individual to say, I'm going to work in a shop without an establishment license because they're taking too long to get it to me. That just doesn't. That makes sense.
If you go to be an independent contractor at a salon suite, there are other, I mean, it's common knowledge, or in my mind, it's common knowledge. It has been to me and staff of mine that have left to do that's
it ultimately just comes down to a vote of the board, and I think we're all able to make the case for what we want when we're making motions, and whoever says aye, says aye, and whoever says
yeah, no, I'm just trying to clarify.
You're not incorrect.
Yeah, I'm just trying to clarify for some of the public members. I get that everybody has a vote. They can say aye, yay, nay. Doesn't matter to me. I just want to make sure that in case there are some public members out there that aren't in the industry that are familiar with how it works, it's they know that they're supposed to have a license before they work. And
I would argue that we're not doing it for every unestablished license. I would argue it's a very specific group of people with the salon suites. And we're not just saying anybody who's just been chilling with no license doesn't get it. And we've done penalties for other people. But this one is a very specific issue where there wasn't a lot of communication about it.
Except for the fact that she knew when she worked in a salon before that had that problem.
But it was a different situation.
Miss, yeah. It's not my
really. Because we have
and
other.
Frankly, the public's not at risk in this last case. The public was not at risk in the last case. The public was not at risk in the case before, and that is our job.
Well, are we a license? Is licensing important? I guess it's the question.
And so that's why we fine unlicensed people with outside of these specific situations.
Because if someone would have got injured in that situation that we just had, then they would go to the news would be coming to us saying, hey, the barber board, how come you guys would let them operate? And then we're trying to backtrack and say, we don't operate like that. So that's what I'm trying to get it understood that we should, if we're going to say that they need to have an establishment license, to say it's okay to work without one because you filed it that day, just that just doesn't, it just doesn't.
We aren't saying it's okay to work without one.
And we're telling them you can't, if you don't have a license right now and it's in process, you can't work after this. But we're giving people a little bit of grace to understand that sometimes they need to be educated as opposed to just having a fine thrown at them, or at least that's my personal opinion.
But we've educated them on the website.
For
a while now.
I think it's just
yeah, we were trying to fix
differences
it.
Of thoughts.
Yeah, it's been an ongoing problem.
However, it comes down to a vote.
I'm just going to add one opinion to be clear, because this is the board is responsible for issuance of.
Chase still on the line?
So real quick.
Chase, just in your opinion, what are some of your thoughts on that? Because I haven't heard you chime in yet.
I kind of come in on it's got to be for public safety. I don't see a lot of the licensing. I didn't know I needed an establishment license as being a public safety issue necessarily. So that's why I'm voting, let it pass this time. But that's where I stand on it.
Okay, no problem. Want to make sure everybody's kind of clear.
Yeah, and I was just going to add the point. I think where I kind of find my mind in these situations too is there's the distinction between the period of time that the inspection occurred and now versus that period of time that they worked. All that period of time that they may have been operating without the license, right? So I guess, obviously the distinction in the organizational process, potential failure, though we did I want to be clear that we adjusted our process and we have added additional communication steps to each licensee. And there were three times in this case, and they still didn't complete the application. I do think there's that distinction of the period of time before versus the period of time that they applied, in this case February 3rd to now, which is not acceptable, to be clear. There is how long would the person have continued to operate without an establishment license? Is precisely why we have an organizational metric goal towards an inspection, a routine inspection of every establishment once every 2 years. So that there isn't these long extended periods of time, the 5 years that member Mayfield said earlier, and we have, as I will give more detail a little later, changed the process to ensure that there's not this long lag period of time, the random email address, and some of those types of things. So that's just from a staff perspective, where there's some nuance as well.
So the word of what will happen is the word will get out that just like we dealt with the nail tech. Oh, if I just go in there and say, well, I have an establishment license and I'm in a suite, it's okay. They'll just say, it's okay. And that'll become the new norm. And then that'll be an issue in the future. So I'm just trying to prevent future problems for the board and these inspectors going out there. Because they go out.
In the future, we'll know that there was a disciplinary letter of concern for that person if it ever pops up again.
So that's going to be the new norm is, well, I'll get my discipline. I'll get a slap on the hand first. And then after that, I'll make sure I'm on top of it. Good. All right.
Chairman Begley, members of the board, I will give only a personal opinion as well to you. They do sign an attestation that they are familiar with all of our statutes and rules when they apply. The only other thing I would add is, in essence, we're saying some rules are valid and some rules aren't. And if they're in our Arizona Administrative Code, which has been passed by the governor's office, and the statutes have been passed by the legislature of the state, I would just hope that we as a board would do our due diligence in how we deal with our licensees. So I appreciate Member Mayfield, your question of are licenses important or not.
Thank you.
we need these discussions because we need to deduct these issues and taking them seriously. And now we're at number six. Our case number 98098, Ryan M. Scottsdale, SCOS 29103. Ryan M. Scottsdale, LLC is the owner. Ryan McKinley, license 1080841. You're on the phone, star six.
Yes, this is Ryan. Can you hear me?
I can. Since okay. You're here and acknowledge my case, do you swear the testimony you'll give will be truthful?
Yes.
State your name, please.
Ryan McKinley.
Thank you.
Mr. Chair, member of the board, we do not have an LLC, assigned LLC representation attestation, so if you'll allow me a moment to speak with Mr. McKinley. Mr. McKinley, my name, for the record, my name is Frank McGalley. I'm the Executive Director of the Arizona Barbering and Cosmetology Board. And pursuant to Arizona Supreme Court Rule 31.3C5, you are required to enter into as a legal entity, to enter into a proceeding before this administrative agency, you have to agree to the following statements. So are you an officer, partner, member, manager, or employee of this entity?
Partner.
Thank you. Has this entity, the LLC in this case, specifically authorized you to represent it in this particular proceeding?
Yes.
This is such representation is not your primary duty to the entity?
No.
And finally, you are not receiving separate or additional compensation for representing this entity?
No.
Perfect. And just to confirm, you said you are a partner?
Yes.
Thank you. Mr. Chair, members of the board, Mr. McKinley has satisfied the requirements of the LLC representation attestation.
All right, Mr. McKinley, I'm going to have my investigator review this case and we'll ask questions of her and then we'll come to you and ask you your opinion on these points and questions to you. So Ms. Chavez.
Okay.
Good morning, Mr. Begley and members of the board. My name is Lisa Chavez. On March 1st, 2023, I conducted an inspection of Brian M. Scottsdale, and I spoke with manager Melissa Essex and owner Ryan D. McKinley. During the inspection, I identified the following licensing violation. A licensed operator, Christian Escobel, was providing services in the salon and had a client during the inspection. I called the board office and spoke to the reciprocity staff and was told Christian Escobel, that is a licensed operator, has put an application for a cosmetology license back on November 1st, 2022. The reciprocity staff have been waiting for the state of California to provide his certification of licensure and a copy of his driver's license. I provided Christian Escobel, the manager, and the owner, Ryan McKinley, with information on what Christian needed to do to get his application moving forward. I pulled aside manager Melissa Essex and owner Ryan D. McKinley and gave them the inspection report, informed them of the found violation, and educated them before leaving. If you have any questions, I will be happy to address them.
The rest of the salon was in good condition.
Oh, yeah. Very clean. Fun. Many stylists.
Oh, busy place.
Yeah.
Okay. Does the board have any questions, Ms. Chavez?
The unlicensed operator, so there was no license there, or he just had the California one and was waiting on the?
He didn't have a license, so I asked him if he could provide his license, and he said that he was from California. He put in an application. I was given all that information while his client was there and we were just having a conversation.
Uh-huh.
And then he said, you know, I put my reciprocity application in November. And then I just started calling the board office just to verify if he had been approved already or not. And at that time, I was informed of all the information, like the need of the driver's license and the certification of licensure from California.
And so it's California that's lagging?
So,
typically,
I'm sorry, you might know that.
Is once they get their information, they email our reciprocity person staff, and it's just an email. So typically, if somebody isn't checking up on it, then you know that process can be held behind, especially if we're dealing with other states.
Mr. Chair, Member Mayfield, to add to what Ms. Chavez was saying is the process is they apply, their application remains in a pending status until such time that the other state provides certification of that individual's licensure to us. Sometimes there is a delay in those. It's not typically, I actually have never heard of one going from November to March. It's typically a 4 to 6 week turnaround. But just from a procedural standpoint, we receive those applications, but we cannot complete them until we receive that certification.
And where does it stand now?
He has been licensed. He signed a consent agreement last month, and he became licensed. Excuse me, June 3rd of this year.
So the question we're looking at is the
time period.
The salon having an unlicensed provider. Okay. Thank you.
All right. So, Mr. McKinley,
mm-hmm.
You had an opportunity to review this. Can you add any additional information that might help us?
No, I was just a little bit misinformed by him. He had told me that he had everything turned in. We do actually like monthly checks of everyone's licenses. We have actual frames that are standard at every single station that the licenses have to be displayed in. And we had been checking on his for the last couple of months, and he had said everything had been turned in. And so we were misinformed, and he was telling us basically that you guys were behind. And so we had just kept asking, you know, did you get anything back yet? Have you received anything? Is your license back yet? And anyway, it's our fault, I guess, for not following through and like checking. I know it's like a pretty hard process. We do have quite a few stylists at our salon that we try to keep, you know, in track and make sure everyone's licenses are up to date. But with his being a new one moving in from a different state, you know, we kind of just were taking his word for it.
Sure. How many stylists do you employ now?
We have about 25.
Okay.
Yeah, it's a big job managing 25 artists.
Yeah, you got to have a lot of systems to make that work.
Yeah, definitely.
Okay. Does the board have any questions for Mr. McKinley? Does the board have any motions to methods of disposing of this case?
I make a motion that we adopt the findings of fact and conclusions of law in this case, number 98098.
Jason, do you have an opinion?
I second.
All right, we have a motion and a second. All in favor say aye.
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 Jake, are you in there? Jace, are you there?
Yeah, I said aye.
Okay, good. I just couldn't pick it up. All right, so unanimously we passed that motion. Do we have a motion for an order of discipline in this matter?
Yes. Is there any previous history?
Good point.
No.
Thank you.
I move that based on the findings of fact and conclusions of law, we take the following disciplinary action. I move to offer a consent agreement for $250 civil penalty, and if not signed for 30 days, I'll move to formal hearing. Based on that, they started working that fired without a license. Yeah. And so that's the fine. I'm glad it's concluded.
I'll second that.
Okay, we have a motion and a second. All in favor say aye.
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 Aye. Aye. Aye. Unanimously, you agree to pass that motion. So, Mr. McKinley, we appreciate you. You're doing a good job and trying to do a good job, but you did get caught in the middle of this. And you did operate for about 5 months, apparently, without a
license. So we are going to issue a $250 civil penalty in this case. You'll get a letter to that effect.
Okay.
All right. Thank you for contacting us and standing up for this, and we appreciate you being there.
Yeah, definitely. No, I thank you guys too. I appreciate it.
Thank you. Good luck in your business.
Thanks.
Mr. Chairman, I'd also like to clarify with further discussions for the board. This is an instance where licensure is, you know, ensuring licensure is a public safety concern. Hiring unlicensed staff can be quite problematic for the public. So, because we've been having somewhat of a philosophical discussion today about the role of licensure, I wanted to at least clarify my philosophy here.
Thank you. And then you had it. All right, we're going to take a 10-minute break right now based on the stress of being here today. All right.
Sorry, I was not muted. Can you do that all over again?
Back in session now.
Because I have something either.
And we're going to case number 98109. Who? Bam 505-00367. If you're on the phone, star 6 to unmute. Hugh Wu Pham. Case number 98109. All right, hearing no reaction, I move that case number 98109 move to a formal hearing unless the parties involved can consent to the agreement as was presented them before that happened.
A second.
We have a second. All in favor say aye.
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 All right, apparently we all said aye. I unanimously move that forward. Goes to our next case, number 98044, INSP-08588, the Car Wash Hudson, license 1080089, and Markevin Wilson, VAR-002267. Good. Come on forward. Thank you. Before you get settled, you swear the testimony you'll give today will be truthful?
I do.
And state your name, please.
Sarah Hitman.
Mark Hitman.
Thank you very much. Now, please have a seat. All right. Our investigator is going to review the case with us. We'll ask questions. We'll come back to you.
Okay.
Bordelon.
Thank you. Good morning, Mr. Bagley, members of the board. My name is Helen Bordelon. On December 15th of 2022, I conducted a routine inspection of Foxy's Styling Emporium located in Tucson, Arizona. During the inspection, I found that it was an unlicensed establishment performing both cosmetology and barbering services. Mark Kevin was performing services at the time as a barber. There was also no EPA registered disinfectant to the
establishment. Okay. And what was the condition of the salon?
The salon was clean, just other than unlicensed and then no disinfectant.
Okay. Does the board have any questions for the investigator?
Unlicensed ever overdue?
It was unlicensed. So it's my understanding that it was a location change. They moved from a different location. And just didn't follow through with the new application.
Okay. Any other questions?
Is there a license for the old location?
I'm sorry?
Is there a license for the old location?
It's closed.
Or we don't. Okay.
Right.
But it was like the old location was licensed.
Correct. Right.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So have you, well, there's going to be a spokesperson. Have you reviewed this and do you have information you can provide?
Yeah.
Would you please?
So, I have proof of emails, phone calls that I have made, and I'm going to need.
So to clarify, so you guys were somewhere, and then you moved to a different place.
Yes, I was located in a different location, and I moved to a new
I was there 2 days before the inspection came due to the line.
So you operate it or run it or own it or whatever?
Yes.
And then can you work there or are you?
Yes, sir. I was a barber there at the time.
Okay. All right. Cool. So
and the reason I offered for a barber to come to work is because it was a barber shop before on the outside, and those barbers are haircut. So I opened up the opportunity to have a barber in the salon. That was just a plus for her. But I do have the fact that I paid for a salon license.
And when was that?
It was 7/22/2021. I have been waiting that long for receiving my license. I have multiple emails from Felipe, Alicia. I've even emailed Helen regarding where is my license. And all I have gotten was them hitting a button or desk and sending me a new application. I do have my application here that I have sent it out that I have sent to them on the same date of 2021.
So, okay. Would you help us on this? Give us an idea where we are.
Mr. Chair, members of the board, I do show my client's application dated 7/22/2021, canceled applications from April 6th and October 17th, 2022. I can also corroborate that there have been email communications between the respondent and board members regarding the status of the application latest inquiring on April 10th. Why is the respondent receiving an email to sign and fill out the application and there is no license being given?
Right. Did you say there were canceled applications?
Yes.
What does that mean? I mean, is that as simple as it sounds, or is there more to it?
That is a great question.
That's an inherited problem.
I'm still unclear about it, but I imagine that it's either from the respondent side or the board staff side, where if the application is beyond 180 days of being completed, it is canceled before the respondent could submit the application themselves. Have the opportunity to capture their application.
Okay.
To put it in.
Okay. Is there any indication during the 2021 time period of why the license wasn't issued?
I do not have any record of issues or hurdles.
So it does look incomplete or anything like that.